भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
सनिश्चयेन योक्तव्यो योगो निर्विनचेतसा संकल्प प्रभवान् कामं त्यक्त्वा सर्वान् शेषतः मनसैवेन्द्रियाग्रामं विनियम्य समन्ततः। Translation: One should engage oneself in the practice of yoga with determination and faith, and not be deviated from the path. One should abandon, without exception, all material desires born of mental speculation, and thus control all the senses on all sides by the mind. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The yoga practitioner should be determined and should patiently prosecute the practice without deviation. One should be sure of success at the end and pursue this course with great perseverance, not becoming discouraged if there is any delay in the attainment of success. Success is sure for the rigid practitioner. Regarding Bhakti Yoga, Rupa Goswami says, Utsahan nischayat dharyat tatat karma pravartanat sangatyagat sato vite shadvir bhakti prasidhyati. One can execute the process of Bhakti Yoga successfully with full-hearted enthusiasm, perseverance, and determination by following the prescribed duties in the association of devotees and by engaging completely in activities of goodness. This is from the Upadeshamrita, or Nectar of Instruction, verse number 3. As for determination, one should follow the example of the sparrow who lost her eggs in the waves of the ocean. A sparrow laid her eggs on the shore of the ocean, but the big ocean carried away the eggs on its waves. The sparrow became very upset and asked the ocean to return her eggs. The ocean did not even consider her appeal. So the sparrow decided to dry up the ocean. She began to pick out the water in her small beak, and everyone laughed at her for her impossible determination. The news of her activity spread, and at last Garuda, the gigantic bird carrier of Lord Vishnu, heard it. He became compassionate toward his small sister bird, and so he came to see the sparrow. Garuda was very pleased by the determination of the small sparrow, and he promised to help. Thus, Garuda at once asked the ocean to return her eggs, lest he himself take up the work of the sparrow. The ocean was frightened at this and returned the eggs. Thus the sparrow became happy by the grace of Garuda. Similarly, the practice of yoga, especially bhakti yoga in Krishna consciousness, may appear to be a very difficult job. But if anyone follows the principles with great determination, the Lord will surely help, for God helps those who help themselves. Sanischayena yoktavyo yogo nirvinachetasa sankalpa prabhavan kamangstyakva sarvanasheshataha manasaivendriya gramam viniyamya samantataha. One should engage oneself in the practice of yoga with determination and faith and not be deviated from the path. One should abandon without exception all material desires born of mental speculation and thus control all the senses on all sides by the mind. We have a very narrow perception of our condition in the material world. People tend to see everything in terms of their own life, their own sphere of influence, their own community, their own neighborhood, and they make all their judgments about life, about the world, based upon their limited, very limited experience. In fact, in Sanskrit it is said, Atmaban Manyate Jagat. People tend to project. I am thinking in this way, therefore others must also be thinking in this way. And people criticize others based upon their own projections. They find fault because the fault is actually in them. Sometimes we play a little game just to demonstrate to people how you can have your particular perception of something and someone else may be looking at exactly the same thing and have it an honest, sincere, totally different perception of exactly the same thing. We show a picture of a young woman and an old woman. We played that game in Croatia, Slovenia. It was amazing how many people were tricked on that. We show half the audience a young woman, a line drawing, and half the audience an old woman. So they study it, they look at it, then we show them on a big screen both sides of the audience. We show them a picture which has both an old woman and a young woman in it. And you ask people to decide how old the woman is, and people on the right side say she's about 80, 75. And people on the other side say 16, 18, maybe 20. And they're shocked that the other side could be saying what they're saying. How can you say this? It's obvious. She's obviously only 20, what, maybe 25, but not 80. Sometimes they'll even argue. And then you show them, you see the lady's nose here, the old lady, you see her mouth. And then you showed, you see the young girl's hair, and they're shocked. So this is a silly example from any basic psychology textbook. But the point is that people all over the world fight with one another because of differences in perception. So these things can run very deep in our lives, and they can cause very big problems. We have been wandering in the material world for a very, very long time. Our present day limited conception of who we are, I'm an Indian, I'm an American, I'm an Italian, I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm black, I'm white, I'm old, I'm young. These bodily conceptions are covering our pure intelligence. And it's hard for us to see that beyond the body, Krishna says, Bhumira po nalo vayu kam mano buddhi revacha ahankara ityame binna prakriti rashtada. That there are five gross elements and three subtle elements, earth, fire, water, air, ether, and mind, intelligence, and ego. It's the three subtle elements. And then he says, apare amitas tvanyam prakritim vidime param. Besides this, apareyam, besides these eight, there is another energy, apareyam itas tvanyam prakritim vidi meparam. Anyam means there's another. Jiva-bhuta mahabaho, O great warrior, there is the soul. The jiva energy, spiritual energy. So this is Krishna's main effort in the beginning to teach Arjuna to discriminate between matter and spirit. It's like until you can come to that point, you can't see the difference in directing your life towards a different goal. You can't think of a different world. We talk about a spiritual world, going to the kingdom of God, heaven, whatever. Until we can discriminate between the spirit, between the soul, and the physical material elements, it's going to be very, very difficult for us to even entertain the thought, to accept the idea that we should live a simple life and practice meditation and yoga, etc. So Krishna first tries to establish with Arjuna that there is another energy, spiritual energy. All living beings, mamaivamsa jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana, they're eternal. In other words, he also points out to Arjuna the relative importance in trying to understand spiritual life. Whatever you have materially in the form of your body and your extensions of your body, your family, your assets, etc., they're all in the category of material energy, and it's only a question of time, and we have no knowledge when our time runs out, but everything will be finished. everything is being taken away from us slowly. The body's burning up. And everything else we have is being taken away. And the last moment could be 5 minutes from now. We have no understanding. But it's sure that we're going to lose everything. But because we have no knowledge of, and nor are we making any effort to get knowledge of, anything beyond this, we foolishly just accept it as all in all, and like the post-Second World War nihilists, if you're enjoying life, continue. If you're not, you might as well commit suicide, because there's nothing after death. It's only nothingness. So the only philosophical question is whether or not to commit suicide. Very morose, very gloomy prognosis of the problem of life. But there you have it. At least we have a vision, and Krishna is giving us this vision, and many great scholars in the past, brilliant men, have given testimony to the existence of a spiritual world, an eternal sanatana, eternal sat-chit-ananda, eternal full of knowledge and bliss, a world where we can enjoy that complete happiness, purnamrit, purnamritasvadanam sarvatma snapanam, param vijayate sri krishna sankirtanam. The complete pleasure that we want, we can't get that here. We never can. We never will be able to. No matter how much we improve it, no matter how much technology or science or time, nothing is going to improve the situation. First of all, we are not the body. So even if they are able to improve the quality of material existence, you can't a fish out of water. Fish doesn't belong out of water. You give the fish nice fish food, you put a nice female fish beside him, or you give him a TV set with the latest fish television programs. You can't, there's nothing you can do. Next year you give him laser disc program for fish, or you give him instant fish dinners, or no amount of improving is going to make the fish feel any better. He belongs in the water. We as spiritual beings belong in an eternal spiritual world. So Krishna tries to bring Arjuna to that platform. And the means by which Arjuna is going to purify himself is called yoga. It's easy. It has its derivation in Sanskrit and in English. The word yoke, to join something to something else, is called yoke, to yoke two things, to link them together. So yoga means to link with the transcendental world, to link with the Supreme Person. We are all connected. Through God, we are all family. We are all connected. And we have to link. So the process is yoga. Now, because of our long sojourn in the material world, because we've been cultivating material desires, not only in this body, in many previous bodies, both human and otherwise, our attachment is very deep. Therefore, you find in other ages yogis who were actually yogis, not these dime store yogis, not these cheap imitation yogis who make a show, not these people who practice yoga to make their body fit so they can have better sense gratification, but yogis who retired to the Himalayas, who lived in a cave, who didn't eat anything for months together. The yogis who were able to live within the marrow in their bones, they were able to get enough sustenance from the marrow in their bones. They were able to block their incoming breath against their outgoing breath. They would stop breathing, and thus they would stop the mind from moving by controlling the life airs in the body and the breathing process, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, and samadhi. One can actually stop the effect of karma, but it requires a tremendous amount of energy. And according to scripture, if someone has passed semen from his body even once, he won't have enough energy to complete that process of yoga or any vital fluids, whatever it is. Also, there were yoginis, but we have completely wasted our bodies, and but we do have a chance to practice yoga. In this age, we have a chance to complete or perfect our lives by bhakti yoga. And Krishna says, mam hi partha vyapastritya yepi su papa yonio striyo vaishyastatha sudraste piyanti param gatim. Anyone, even those low born in Kali Yuga, which means all of us, we can achieve perfection by the practice of bhakti yoga. But the point is that the process itself is easier, but our application, we should think that we need to give the same kind of concerted effort to achieving perfection as yogis in Satyayuga. The same kind of concentration, the same kind of perseverance. Here Prabhupada quotes utsa, enthusiasm, nischay, determination, and darya, perseverance. Utsahan nischaya darya. So we have to, in order to get a result, we have to be prepared to be very enthusiastic. We should decide right in the very beginning two things. I'm going to pursue this process. I'm making this decision now. I'm going to pursue the process of devotional service to Krishna. And I want to achieve devotional service. I'm going to be very, it's my responsibility I have no one else to blame. I am taking the responsibility to pursue this. If I don't succeed, it's because I didn't follow the process. So I'm going to pursue it. And what I want to achieve is to be fully engaged 24 hours a day in Krishna service. And I want to practice this kind of service and that kind of service, but I'm going to do it actively. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. I'm going to engage my senses in the service of Krishna. I'm not going to allow myself to be idle. I'm going to find out service somehow or other to serve Krishna. Then, once one has made that determination, one has to be very patient. One has to be determined to overcome obstacles. There will be so many obstacles on the path. The easiest obstacles are the physical ones. We have four principles: no illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating, no gambling. So those are hard for some people, especially people who have been brought up on a diet of those things. It's hard because we found some shelter. We found some solace. We found a little relief from the miseries of material existence in intoxication, in, you know, sex life, or in whatever it was. So, I go. Okay. So we have found shelter in those things. But they're not good for us, because illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, gambling, those things actually rivet our mind into the body. And we're trying to get free from the bodily conception of life. Those things agitate us, disturb us, and don't really give us any lasting pleasure. They simply stimulate the senses, but I'm not the senses. I'm beyond the gross physical body. I'm transcendental. I'm a spirit soul. So, it is possible to give those up when one is determined. But in the course of executing devotional service, the mind will revolt. The mind can be our best friend or our worst enemy. We can elevate ourselves, udaredatmanatmanam, natmanam, avashadayat. Atmaiva hi atmano ripuratmaiva bandhuratmaiva ripuratmana. The mind can be our friend or our enemy. The mind can elevate us or degrade us. But for sure the mind is active. Arjuna said it would be vayoriva sudushkaram. It would be easier for me to control the wind. Have you ever tried to catch the wind lately? Can't catch the wind. How are you going to stop the wind? But Arjuna said it would be easier to do that than to catch my mind. Krishna said, yes, you're right, but it is possible by practice and by a simple life. So, by the practice of devotional service, we will make progress, but we have to be determined to deal with the different problems that come up caused by the mind. Here, Krishna talks about manasaivendriya gramam, desires which are born of mental concoction. There's another nice verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna asks Krishna, how can I identify a transcendental person? I'm inspired by what you're telling me. How can I find someone who is a self-realized soul? How can I discriminate? Give me some symptoms. And Krishna tells Arjuna, prajahati yada kaman sarvan partha manogatan. When a man gives up all varieties of sense desire which arise from mental concoction, we find in our civilization today people are engaged in concocting and inventing so many varieties of ways just to satisfy the tongue, the belly, and the genital. We don't have a long time to live, and we should use this time for achieving the highest goal in life. We shouldn't waste our time hitting a ball around a field and, you know, running back and forth, and, I mean, a total waste of time. It's idiocy. Whether it's baseball or cricket or anything. Maybe you need a little exercise, that's another thing. But to make a whole big show and get totally mentally and physically and financially engrossed in such idiocy, like golf, total waste of your time, and any second you could be kicked out, and no guarantee. Any second, people choke. They're eating some chicken and they get a bone in their throat and they choke. People are, you know, there's so many weird ways in which people die, just totally unexpectedly. Someone was telling me about it. 25-year-old person just recently, just today, a friend who had a heart attack, a stroke. Can happen at any moment. We always think, ahani, ahani, gacchantiya, yamalayam. Yudhisthira was asked by Yama, what's the most wonderful thing? The most wonderful thing in the world is that everybody sees that all around them, friends have died, relatives have died, public figures have died, babies have died, animals are dying, everywhere we see death. But somehow people are secure in the fact that I won't die. Or if I do, it'll be 75 years from now. You know? Because I planned it that way. I've got my plans. See? I've got so many more things to do. I haven't finished yet. Prabhupada used to talk about a friend of his who was dying, and he had a lot of money, and he told the doctor, look, I'll give you any amount of money, but please give me 4 more years of life, so I haven't finished my plans. Cancer. Gosh, there's no doctor in the world who can give you even 1 second more. When your time comes, your last breath, you're finished, you go, and you better be prepared. So that's what we're doing. We're preparing ourselves. So, one has to pursue bhakti yoga. It is the right path. It's the right process. It's very detailed, scientific, anyone can take to it. We're very fortunate Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made it even easier by chanting the holy names. It is blissful. It is full of rasa. It includes dovetailing our propensities. We're not told to go to the Himalayas and eat ashes and stand on our toes and lie on a bed of nails or whatever it is. And such, in fact, such things are forbiddenness. The body is Krishna's body. We're not supposed to torture Krishna's property. We can live a very practical, reasonable life, but we must be determined to follow very rigidly the sadhana, the vaidhi, the rules, whatever they are. They're not difficult, but we should apply ourselves. And if the mind puts in our way so many reasons why we shouldn't, then we have to be prepared to fight, to read scripture, and armed with yoga, stand and fight, by knowledge overcome material desires. Memorize verses from Bhagavad Gita. Memorize stories of great devotees who passed tests. We have to become familiar with the subject matter and protect ourselves. And then we have to be patient. Roma was not built in a day. And our spiritual life, I mean, really, we have the mind. Just examine your mind. Be honest with yourself. Don't reveal it to anybody else, but be honest with yourself. And look at the desires, the filthy, sinful desires that enter your mind all the time. It's going to take time to clean the house, you know. It's going to take a little time, so you have to be patient. Just being enthusiastic without being patient is rajaguna. It's the mode of passion. I'm going to chant Hare Krishna. Within 3 weeks, I'm going to, you know, become a Paramahansa, you know, because I'm fired up and I'm going to do it and I'm going to follow the rules. I'm going to take rest every night at 2 o'clock and get up at 3, and, you know, I'm just going to be the best devotee in the world. And then after 3 weeks, you don't see Krishna. And, you know, I've seen people come like that. I've seen people who, you know, were so fired up but not patient. And they were fanatic too. So one has to be determined to overcome obstacles of all kinds, and one has to be patient, and one has to pray for the mercy of the Lord. Praying is very powerful. Krishna is there in the temple, and you can go and talk to him, and he will answer your prayers from within your heart or through other devotees. You have to be alert. You have to see how Krishna is coming to you in many ways. Krishna can come to you in so many ways if you're trying to find him. If you don't want to find him, if you're distracted by fulfilling your own material desires, then you'll miss him. But Krishna is your friend. Suridam sarva bhutanam gyatva mam. Those who know this, shantim ruchati, they live peacefully in life. They're not disturbed. Even in the greatest difficulty in the material world, they're not disturbed. I like that passage from the Bible. It's so nice. Yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I fear no evil, for the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Sermon on the Mount, I think, or something. Huh? Beautiful passage. A devotee is not afraid of anything because he carries the Lord within his heart. He is looking for the Lord everywhere, within and without. He has knowledge, and that knowledge is not just gyan, but it's vigyan. He believes it, he lives by it. So we have to get, the mind's business is this vicious mind, untrained. It's not the mind's fault. The mind has been in a lawless country for so many years. Corruption has been the practice. You can't blame people, really, in India or in Italy for corruption. Everybody does it, you know, right from the top to the bottom. The world is so bankrupt. But especially in India and Italy, I think they must do their city, sister countries or something, I don't know. But it's been endemic. It's been existent for so long that it seems like it's the normal standard. And the mind has been filled with filthy desires. I'll do anything. Beg, borrow, steal, kill, to fulfill my mind will come up with plans to fulfill its desires, which, you know, a man can kill his wife so that he can go with his lover, a woman can kill her children so that she can have more sex, or whatever it is. The mind is very dirty. And we need to become serious, because this is our self-interest. We've tried many other things, and just getting more of the same. Einstein said that to think that if I go on doing the same things in the same way as I always have been, I'll get a different result than I've been getting, that's madness. And I've been trying to enjoy my senses in the material world, not only in this lifetime, but in so many lifetimes. And there's no real lasting satisfaction. And there won't be either. I've got to change my way of looking at things. I've got to change my approach. Instead of thinking of myself as the master, I've got to think of myself as a servant of the Lord. Instead of thinking of myself as the controller, the enjoyer, I've got to change my way of thinking. I am a servant of Krishna. He is my protector. He is my friend. He is my master. I've got to develop that mind frame, that way of looking at things, world view. So this process of bhakti yoga is the way to achieve these different changes. And it has been made easy for us. So we just have to develop that faith. And so many sages and saintly persons in the past. This is not something invented or concocted or new or instant for the modern age, neo-sannyas or something like that. It's the same thing that has been practiced for thousands of years by great persons and who have achieved success. And we can also achieve success if we want to. But it's not for insincere people. Krishna consciousness is not for everyone. There are some people, Matir na Krishne paratasvatova mito vipadyeta griha vratanam adanta govir vishatata mishram punapunascharvita charvananam. They want to stay in the material world, they want to chew the chewed again and again, they're foolish. Sometimes a man is drowning, you go to save them and they pull you down and you both drown. It often happens with inexperienced persons in life-saving. It's the first thing they teach you in a life-saving course is don't go and save someone. Throw something first. Throw, roll, go, tow. Or go in a boat and tow them in. Otherwise, that drowning person will just grab onto you and pull you down in the water, and you'll drown too. You both die. So there are some people in this world who they've got to finish their desires. They've got to be bumped around a little bit more. They have to suffer a little bit more. They have to learn that they belong to Krishna, and the only way they can be happy is by loving Krishna, serving Krishna. He'll protect us. He's perfect. Nobody in this world can make us happy the way Krishna can. No other person, no ordinary mundane person. If there's no Krishna, then we're doomed. So, the evidence is there, and it's up to us. Are there any questions? The Titanic, and your... It's late at night, you're sleeping, and then all of a sudden there's a big crash and you're thrown out of your bed and water comes in the window and you rush to the deck and you're thrown overboard. And here you are in the ocean and, someone says to you, what happened? Whose fault is this? Who's responsible? Really, really doesn't matter a whole lot whose fault it is. What's more important is how you're going to get to a lifeboat before you freeze to death, and whether or not the rescue boat will get to you. We may question. There's lots of things that furtive brains ponder. There's lots of things that people with big imaginations want to know the answers to. And they go on speculating and inquiring and never really make any progress. And maybe there are certain things that are just beyond our ability to understand. For example, the people who originally got the young woman picture, with that paradigm, it's very hard for them to understand why the other side of the room is saying that the woman is 80 years old. I've seen it. You've seen it. It was just amazing. The left side and the right side of the group were... when I showed them the old lady and the young lady together, they were just amazed, isn't it? They couldn't understand how the others were thinking, but when they saw it. So there are things that in our present state of consciousness we can't understand. And asking questions of that nature, which are not going to enhance your immediate development, there's very less utility in that. You may satisfy your ego that I didn't accept it until I understood it. But there's something called faith, that you take your intelligence as far as you can go and then you make a decision. Just like a man may want to get married. And, you know, they may think, well, I'll wait for the perfect wife, or vice versa. I'm not going to get married until the perfect husband is there. And, you know, that person will probably end up, you know, a lifelong brahmachari or something. I don't know. Because at a certain stage, in various things, you just have to make a decision and go ahead. So in spiritual life, I've got enough reasonable faith, I've got enough knowledge to satisfy me that I must try to pursue this path of devotional service. I may not know how I fell down from the spiritual world, but I'll accept it because I'm here, right? You're here, somehow you're here. How you came, it's not a real urgent or first-class question.